Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 20. And I should just save somebody a telephone call. I know that that bread that is in our communion elements here today is really bad. But you can't beat the convenience of this, you know, so bear with it. We'll be back to the good old stuff before you know it, but I just figured I'd go ahead and clean that up so it saves somebody a phone call trying to connect with me this week. Hey, man, hope you have your Bibles. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. You know, in the Matthew's Gospel that we have studied, this is the 52nd message from Matthew. You didn't realize there was so much good stuff in there, did you? All throughout the book of Matthew, he instructs us about the kingdom. And I would remind you just of a few. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Actually, the entire 5th and 6th chapter of Matthew speaks of kingdom truth. So I'm not going to give all of them, but remember how to store up treasures in heaven in Matthew chapter 6? Or the parables, the kingdom of heaven is like the sower, the weeds, the mustard seed, the yeast, a treasure, the pearl, the net. A couple weeks ago, we talked about who is the greatest in the kingdom. A little child was brought to Jesus, called over, be like a little child. You know, people say, well, you know, I just don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. Well, you're just not reading the Word of God, because it's right there. He's telling us all about it. How to get there, how to stay there, how to have treasures there when you arrive. And our message this morning from the 20th chapter starts off, for the kingdom of heaven is like. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In this parable, there is a, if you remember, perhaps on a few Wednesday nights ago when I was speaking on from Genesis, I talked to you about then, always, and now. It's a good way for us to approach the Word of God, always looking at God's Word with that in mind. Then, always, and now. Look at it as it was when it was written and who it was written to and what it was about. There are truths, always truths, that come forth. And then there is a today application for my life and for your life. And this one lines in that way. So we're going to kind of take it in that fashion. But I want to kind of get you started along with me, if I could, by asking you a question. Are you laboring in the kingdom for wages or a reward? Are you laboring in the kingdom for wages or a reward? Wages, according to Webster's Dictionary, is the payment, usually of money, for labor or services earned according to contract. Reward is something that is given in return for good or evil done or received. key words there are earned and given. I want us to break down this parable a little bit this morning. And as we do, and like these last several weeks, this is incredibly strange and unusual up here. I think I see Jim. Jim, you ever preach outside like this, brother? With everybody in their cars, it's different. But I'm just glad to look out and see some faces because we've been looking at empty seats. So I'll take this over empty seats. But it's still just a little bit weird. First thing that I would ask you to grasp, if you will, from this passage of Scripture is that the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, just wages will be given. Just wages will be given. Let me show you this in verse number one. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Now keep in mind, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. So he starts this, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Jesus pictures God the Father as the landowner. Let me share with you some scripture. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. How many of us realize that the whole earth belongs to God? Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So whether people acknowledge him or not, they still belong to God. Leviticus 25, 23, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you are but aliens and my tenants. God owns it all. So once again, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The landowner chooses who will labor for him. Says he went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He promises them a standard wage. Now, some in, perhaps in your Bible, if you've got some little commentaries along with that, it may say the denarius was the wage for a soldier in the Roman Empire. Actually, they only got two-thirds of a denarius. But a good landowner who was paying a rightful amount would pay one denarius for a day's labor. Generous, fair wage for a day. So now I want you to see, Jesus says that in his kingdom, everyone will get a fair wage for the work that they have done. Everybody got that? Say amen. That's so let it be. That's what it means. So let it be. So you can count on the fact that God will reward, he will minister, he will pay, if you will, for labor that has been done for him. The kingdom application is that when the master calls workers into his harvest field, he will pay a fair wage. Listen to this, Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Revelation 22:12, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. You may be laboring quietly in some corner of the kingdom, and you think that no one notices. God notices. And he's keeping a very accurate account on everything that we have done and will do for his kingdom. Praise his name. He's a good landowner. I want that dog. Sorry, folks. We've got two puppies down here and they're stars. If you look at verse number three, he says, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Verse 7, because no one's hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. How many of you will be honest with me and say, I'm not sure that sounds fair? I mean, if you on your job went and worked all day and received your wage and someone else was hired, let's say you start at 7 in the morning, then they were hired and they were brought in at 10 in the morning and they received the same thing that you did for working all day. And somebody else was hired at noon, and when payment time, they got the same thing that you did. And then let's say that you worked from 7 to 4, okay? At 3 in the afternoon, they hired someone else, and that someone else came and worked for 1 hour and got the same thing that you got. I've got a feeling that some of you, not all of you, but some of you would grumble. Because some of you are grumbling right now in your mind. This just does not seem fair. Let me give you the second truth that I see in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, grace rewards always exceed just wages. Say it one more time. In the kingdom of heaven, grace rewards always exceed just wages. So in other words, God will always give a significant wage for everything that is done for him. You can count on that. But then there is a grace factor in God that takes us out of the realm of this world and into the realm of his presence, and his willingness by grace turns that remuneration, if you will, into reward, and it always exceeds the wage. Always. In other words, when we get to heaven and we're in his presence, because of his incredible grace, we will not only get what we deserve as wages, but by his incredible grace, we're going to get far more. Hallelujah. That's what's amazing about grace. You know, it's unmerited favor. To the first laborer, he offered them a fair wage of 1 denarius. To the others, he offered whatever is right. But Jesus is making the point that whatever is right here on earth will be far exceeded in heaven by the grace and the mighty love of our God. Kingdom distinction comes into the view. First of all, in the fact that the first to arrive, or the last to arrive, will be the first to get paid. Now, there's a lot of discussion about this. So again, I don't need you to call me and tell me. I've read the commentaries. I know what it says. But there's a great deal of sense that goes with the fact that the church will be taken out of this world first and will be the first to step into heaven before the people of Israel. There's good evidence for that. That said, the church will come to its reward by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will step up and we will receive our right reward from the Lord. I'm so thankful this morning for grace. Because you see, I realize, and maybe you do too, but I realize that if I get what I deserve, then I don't deserve to be in heaven to begin with. Because all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what my Bible says. And I find it to be very, very true. In staying before the Lord constantly, realizing that my best efforts fall so short. But by His incredible grace, church, oh, His amazing grace, not only will we gain access to heaven, but we will have an opportunity to walk in and be rewarded way beyond what we have actually done with our lives for the kingdom of God. You know, I think about that little widow that one day was approaching the offering plate, if you will, in the temple. I could hurt myself if I fall off here. just by stepping, Larry. Where was I? What? Oh, the widow. See, I need people. That's all there is to it. I need people all the time. The widow who came, you know, all these people were putting bags of money. And all of a sudden, this little woman walks up and puts the smallest coin into the pot. And Jesus says, she's given more than everyone. And the disciples are like, what? Did you see the bag of money that one guy brought? It was huge. But Jesus said, she gave out of her want, out of her need. Oh, church, realize this morning that when we step out of this world and into the kingdom of heaven, we're stepping into a realm that is filled and oozing, if you will, with grace and mercy and love. He's going to see that widow that put that small bit into the offering, and He will reward her by His grace. You may say, you know, I've tried to witness, and I talk to people, and they won't hear me. It just doesn't seem like, it seems like my words just fall to the ground when I talk to them. May I tell you this morning that every one of those words are not hitting the ground, but they are like prayers ascending before the Father. Hallelujah. He's measuring every one of them. He's noting every one of them. And by His incredible grace, He will not only give you a wage for every one of them, but He will give you a reward that is way beyond anything that you can imagine. You say, well, you know, if I was Billy Graham, I'd get grand rewards. You might be surprised. That widow may get that right-hand position that James and John wanted. Some little praying saint who never gave up on praying for the kingdom of God and for lost souls may be the one who gets the greatest reward, because grace, grace. I've got to be careful. There's no big clock out in front of me, so anything could happen here today. The third lesson that I see in this passage, in Matthew chapter 20, look at verse number 11. It says, when they received it, when they received their pay, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. Now, you know, in the kingdom of heaven, reward is in the judgment, if you will, of the landowner. Another one of the things we'll have to watch out for. Hey, come on, will you acknowledge with me that this is strange? Not that I'm strange, but this is strange. But I'm thankful for it. And I'm also thankful that I know the judge. I know the one who is going to give out the rewards. Folks, there's not a day that goes by that Pastor Steve and I talk about this quite a bit. the feelings and shortcomings of ministry, trying to do the work of the Lord, but being humbled, being beat down, if you will, by your humanity, trying to keep in the realm of the spirit while you're fighting the flesh. Anybody else know about that? A few of you do. I'm so thankful that the landowner is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And one of these days, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to a group of people who really don't deserve to be there, and maybe who in their own sight have not done all that much but did what they could, who listened to the Lord, who ministered before the Lord, who let his power flow in them, who listened to his voice and spoke what he said. Praise his name. I've not really understood this, and I can't really fully understand this passage, and I'll just give you this right now. Because you see, I can't see people up in heaven grumbling. So I can only imagine that this is a group of people here on earth. Because once we get to heaven, surely there won't be grumblers up there. Oh, God help us, there should not be grumblers in heaven. So it must be here on earth that when someone is blessed, when someone is rewarded, when someone receives something, that there are those who would look and say, oh, they don't deserve it. Why are they getting praise? Why are they being thanked? Why do they have more than I have? Why are there more blessings flowing to them than the blessings that are flowing to my life? This is all about the rewards of grace. It's not just about our wages. You'll get your wages. God's a faithful landowner. You will be paid what is promised. But you must know that by his grace, that he is rewarding, he is blessing, he is ministering to people. Even in this world, but oh, in the world to come, in the kingdom to come. Oh. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us, God, let us walk in your grace. Let us walk in your truth. Let us labor for you. Let us not get caught up in what somebody else has or the praise that somebody else has been given. But realizing that the landowner is going to take good care of us with wages and reward. Hallelujah. You may be like me. I'm not highly motivated by reward, honestly, or wages. They're necessary, but they're not what I work for. I've been telling the Lord this. Lord, my reward has been doing your work. And I'm not saying that to seem pious or anything. I'm just saying to you that the privilege, the incredible privilege of doing the work of the kingdom is second to nothing. Just get me to heaven. Let me be there. But I also know that by his incredible grace and mercy, he will give me more in glory than what I'm worth. Hallelujah. And you, 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 and you also. So the kingdom parable sets forth this truth. First, the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, just wages will be given. You can count on it. Secondly, in the kingdom of heaven, grace rewards will exceed all just wages. And thirdly, in the kingdom of heaven, all reward will be in the judgment of the Lord. You can count on it. We have an incredible lesson here about the kingdom. I pray this morning that every single one of you have prepared yourself to be in the kingdom of heaven. There's a story by Marshall Shelley that tells the story of an Assemblies of God missionary that I want to share with you as we conclude. called J.W. Tucker, who knew he was at risk when anarchy broke out in the Belgian Congo in 1964. He stayed where God placed him. One day a mob attacked and killed him with sticks and clubs, fists and broken bottles. They took his body and threw it in the back of a truck and then tossed his corpse to the crocodiles in the Bamako River in what is now Democratic Republic of Congo. J.W. Tucker had risked everything, yet he seemingly had nothing to show for it. I wrote in this story, wages equals wasted effort. No magnificent fruit, nothing. 30 years later, John Weedman, a close friend of Tucker, was in the country and learned how God had used that missionary sacrifice. The Bamako River flows through the middle of the Mangbeto tribe, a people virtually without the gospel. During the Civil War, the Mangbeto king appealed to the central government in Kinshasa for help. The government sent the brigadier, a policeman of strong stature and reputation who came from Israel. Tucker had led the brigadier to the Lord 2 months before Tucker was killed. As a new Christian, the brigadier had done his best to witness to others, but had no response. Then one day he heard of the Mangbeto tradition. It said, if the blood of any man flows in the Bamako River, you must listen to his message. The brigadier called for the king and the village elders, and they gathered in full assembly to hear the brigadier say, some time ago, a man was killed and his body was thrown into your Bamako River. The crocodiles in the river ate him up and his blood flowed in your river. But before he died, he left me a message. This message concerns God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save people who were sinners. He died for the sins of the world. He died for my sins, and I received this message, and it changed my life. As the brigadier preached, the Spirit of God descended, and people began to fall on their knees and cry out to the Lord. Many were converted, and since that day, thousands of Mangbetos have come to Christ, and there are a dozen Assemblies of God churches in that tribe, among that tribe. The rewards for ministry may not be seen in your lifetime, but according to the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who is keeping track. And not only of wages, but of rewards. One of these days, oh, I can even say it, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Amen. And when we do, we'll step into His presence, and folks, we're going to get more than we deserve because we're going to get grace rewards. Hallelujah. You know, some of you may just know about grace salvation. I just wanted you to know about grace rewards because they're coming, because we know the landowner. Amen. If you want to, you can stand up, or if you're in your cars, that'd be kind of hard. But those of you that are outside, let's conclude this morning. If you're in the sound of my voice this morning and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to realize the truth of God's word says, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The book of Acts says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house. I believe and trust those words this morning. And I believe that if you are willing, you can right there where you're at, you can say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and be the Lord and master of my life. Be the landowner that I would recognize that everything is yours. And may you put your life into His hands today. And I can tell you, you have a glorious future. A glorious future if you belong to the Lord. Heaven awaits. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you've given us this time together. What a beautiful morning. And what a grand time for us to be together as a church family. I thank you, Lord, for all who are watching online and all who are here in this parking lot. And we together pray over that individual who may be this very moment asking you into their heart and life and changing eternity. Minister to them right now. And then, Lord, I also pray that you would remember and minister to all of us. That as we are feeling small and insignificant in this incredible kingdom of yours, you would help us to remember this lesson from the 20th chapter of Matthew that says that your rewards, your grace reward, is going to be greater than anything we could ever earn. And may we be blessed with that truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.